This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Another game week gone as we head into Christmas with a big old average of 60. There was loads of panic with a Mo Salah benching, but a brace caused the place to swiftly strengthen. 16 points from the Egyptian King, 17 from the new King Bruno. Leeds and Man United put on a show. Tammy Abraham turned London blue though. Everton piled on the misery for Arsenal, whilst Liverpool scored 7 stunners. It's farcical the once masterful Gunners might be battling with the relegation runners. Welcome to the 67th episode of Triple Captain.
Oh, I love it when we start the episode with a poem. It just sets the tone. I just think it sets the tone anyway. We are Triple Captain. My name's Rich Wolfenden, TalkSport commentator, Radio X presenter. And as always, I'm joined by the FPL Shakespeare, as he's known on this podcast, Luke Jurdy. How are you doing, mate?
I'm good, Rich. I'm good. How are you doing?
Yes, very good. Back in the family home. Got out of London just before the shit hit the fan.
Ah, great. So you're in tier two now.
Yeah, I've halved my tiers. I've absolutely smashed it for Christmas.
According to Gary Neville, in Liverpool, you can just sit in a pub and they put a pizza in the middle of your group and it's just used like a frisbee for 12 hours.
Oh, right.
And you can drink 12 pints. That's what Gary Neville said on Monday Night Football last night.
Oh, my God. Gary, he's having a tough time, obviously.
Yeah, they were all like, and Gary was like, oh, I think I've made a few people nervous there.
Oh, man. Oh, well, less of Gary. Maybe we can get him on the podcast and get him to explain that comment. Anyway, do you want to introduce our guest?
Yes, I do want to introduce our guest. Special guest, he's friend of the podcast. We had him on at the end of last season for our FPL Summit episode, and he is having a great season so far. He's doing really, really well, although I have just taken over him in our mini league.
He had to get that in there, didn't he?
Rank.
Had to get
so
that
it's
in
the
there.
It's the perfect time for him to come on. We've had a bit of banter all season so far. He does so much FPL stuff in the community. He's got a great Twitter account, loads of good information. He runs a brilliant YouTube channel as well, and his subscribers are growing and growing. Welcome to the podcast. At FBL Tips, it's Harry. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, not bad, thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Pleasure, absolute pleasure. So, do you want to just give us a quick rundown of how the season's gone so far and how this game week's gone and where you are overall?
Yeah, so my season first sort of 4 game weeks started off pretty poor, actually. I was sort of, well, poor compared to sort of how it's going now. I was pretty stationary in about 2 million rank, and then there was a game week 4, I think it was. I played my wild card quite early going into game week 5, and it's sort of been uphill from there. I got on sort of Kane and Son both when they started doing really well, so I had both of them for that sort of good run of fixtures. And then I sort of got up to about 100k and then stagnated there for a couple of weeks, but the past couple have been very kind to me, so up to 35k overall now with 83 this week. I think there's a lot of high scores this week, so 83 is, yeah, still pretty pleased with that, up from 55 to 35k this week. A lot down to, you know, the captain Fernandez, Salah, Grealish being sort of big 3 players for me this week. My defence needs a little bit of work, and I'm sure we'll get onto future transfers, but it's looking a little bit on the ropes at the moment with injuries and just general points. But my front 7 have been carrying me for the past few weeks.
Yeah, because you've got the power 5 midfield, haven't you? Fernandez, Son, Grealish, Salah and De Bruyne?
Yeah, and then Bamford, Calvert-Lewin up front is not a bad 2 to put up front with it.
Nice. So going really well. 35k, that's great. So Harry, if we just carry on with our theory of the amount of points per game week that you need to have a really good season, how many points per game week have you got? Can you quickly divide your total by 14 and let us know?
I can.
Oh, a bit of quick maths on the podcast.
I can. Let me get my calculator.
924 divided by 14, off the top of your head. Come on.
60.
Oh, well, we are in 2020, Rich. Their calculators have existed for quite some time.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
Yeah, it's just under 65 is what I'm on, so 64 point,
yeah,
something.
That's it. That's what you need. That's what we keep saying. You just, as long as you're hitting, you know, above 60 per game week, you're gonna end up with a good rank, and there it is, 35k for Harry. So
and we're doing this on Zoom, but I did not see Harry reach for a calculator there. I'm just gonna believe he did do that in
he
his
did.
Head. Well done,
yeah.
Harry.
Smashed, yeah, all yeah. in my head. Yeah.
Smashed it. Great. So yeah, having a really good season. That's really good. And anything that you've done differently this year? Harry, in terms of strategy, or have you kind of played your usual way and it's all worked out, or is there anything that you've noticed? Because there's a lot of players, it's been a real mixed bag, hasn't it? I know there's people like the general who are having a really good season. I'm having a good season, you're having a good season. There's other contributors to the community that aren't having a good season. I think Late Riser, who's had such good finishes, is in like the over 2 million rank, and I think the Who Got the Assist, I think Tom from Who Got the Assist is down in the millions, and so there's some kind of season players aren't having a good season. So is there anything you've kind of noticed this year where you think that's the way I've played and that's why I am where I am?
Yeah, there are a couple of things I've tried to sort of adapt this year to what I did past few seasons. I think it's worth saying there has been, you know, a fair bit of luck, and you've got to have that on your side. You know, I had that a few weeks ago, that Lamptey 9-pointer off the bench when he scored against Spurs and things like that. So you've got to have things like that go in your favour. But the couple of things I've tried, I just don't see hits paying off. And the more I look at it, the less I want to take. If you've got an injured player and you can only put out 10 players, then great, take it. But 9 times out of 10, when I look at the hits I've taken this season, they've just not benefited my team long term. So I'm just trying to use free transfers. And if I'm going to look to take a -4, I think, is it really going to pay me that extra 4 points this week? So try to not take them as many as possible. And then the other one is my captain. Last season, I was throwing the captaincy armband. You know, if Mahrez or someone had a good fixture, I'd put it on him. Other players, you know, who aren't that consistent but have that high ceiling. So when picking my captain, I've tried to sort of combine the consistency aspect of it with someone who's explosive. So that narrows it down to very few players. So like your Fernandes, Salah, De Bruyne, Kane and Son. I haven't captained someone outside those 5 players so far this season. And I think I've only missed my captain twice. I've had only 2 blanks. So I know people say it's boring, but come the end of the season, if you've got those captaincy points, they add up. They get you to where you want to be at the end of the season. So I know it's exciting, you know, Captain Mahrez or someone like that. But long term, I just think you're better off playing it safe.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I mean, particularly with hits. I mean, even if a player's injured and they're going to get you 0 points, the player that you bring in has obviously still got to score at least 4 to make that regular. You know, so they've got to get a return in order to give you a positive score out of a hit. Speaking of hits, Ben, you've taken so many this season, haven't you? Nice. It hasn't worked out so far. What's your game week been like this week?
So, you know what, my out of office is on FPL. You know what, come back to me on the 4th of January. All I'm thinking about is my wild card. I am pulling the trigger as soon as I can. This is a case of just get through Christmas and still try and enjoy it. Even though Boris has cancelled a few plans and FPL is undoubtedly going to be a nightmare. I'm just thinking wild card, because I've just come in just below average again this week. I had some great performances, but I think for me, like, I look around my team, so 57 points I got this week, average was 60, but I've got 8 points from Stones, 9 from Diaz, both Man City, 8 from Justin. I've got Vardy on 12, but just there's a few letdowns. But I think not owning a premium, not owning Bruno or Salah this week has massively hurt me. And I think this shows you, if you don't have one of those premiums and they absolutely bang like both of them did. By the way, Mystic Luke over there predicting the Salah double, even though he started on the bench. Loved that on Twitter.
I know. Very, very spectacular performance there.
But if a player, like, if you don't have one of those players and they go and do that, and then a lot of people will put the captain's armband on him, obviously, it just hurts so, so badly. So I think I'm going to restart with my wild card in January and look at all the things that you guys have said. Starting players, you look at those premiums. Don't try and be too clever with it. Mo Salah is consistently the top scoring player in FPL. I've heard that a few times. I'm going to get him. He's going to be the first name in my team, followed by Bruno Fernandes. I'm going to stop trying to buck the trend and take stupid gambles and risks and go for solid players who will deliver, even if they have a dodgy game week. Don't take them out.
I don't know, man. Aubameyang's looking good again for Arsenal. Maybe get him in. Maybe.
Unbelievable.
I think he was injured, actually, wasn't he, against Everton?
That's the other thing about this season, though, is that I've got so many illness, 75% chance of playing illness. You're like, oh, yeah. God, you just never know. You get these starting players, and then suddenly something, they're self-isolating or whatever, and it's just...
Have you done just... Obviously, we just did the maths to find out Harry's average. Have you done the maths on yours to find out what your average is every week?
God.
Because I've just done mine, right. And my average is literally just above 60, so I'm literally... like pretty much on target as it stands after this game week. But yeah, go on, what did you, what's your average? Because 60 is the what we're aiming for, right?
52.
Yeah, so you got a bit, yeah, you got a bit of a way to go to get that up. But you know, a couple of good game weeks can knock it up. You know, my average has gone up by 2 points per game week just with this game week. So, you know, there is still time. There is definitely still time. And also, Ben, we're going to talk about this in a bit in terms of chip strategy. I wouldn't play your wild card as soon as possible, and I'll tell you why in a little while. And Harry and Rich both nodding their head because they're like, "Yep, yeah, no, yeah. he's right." so we'll talk about that. But Rich, so your average is 60. You had a good game week this week, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. So I had 4 green arrows, then I had 4 red arrows, and now I've got a green arrow again. Yay. So, you know, I'm back on form. Thankfully, the red arrows I had weren't too significant. They were all pretty small ones, all less than 50,000, so it weren't too bad. But yeah, so I've done a bit of a leap. I've gone up to 493k from 768k, a nice big 87 for me on this game week, which is a lovely tasty number. It's the second highest points score I've had all season, so pretty happy with that. And it would have been higher as well if Taylor had just hung on to that clean sheet for Burnley at the end, and if Chilwell hadn't gone off injured. So whatever, still either way to a great game week. Mendy finally delivering. As soon as I brought him in, he conceded loads of goals, gave away a penalty and had an absolute nightmare, and it looked like the classic Wolfenden transfer of a goalkeeper in. But a nice clean sheet for him this week. Robertson with a big 10, Grealish with a big 10, even though we were doubting him on the last episode, so I'm glad I kept him in for at least this game week. Captain Fernandes, which I'm absolutely delighted with that decision, 34 points from Fernandes, which I think was the best captain choice of the game week, I think. De Bruyne got me a 5. Calvert-Lewin got me a 4. And Rafinha, he delivered 8 points from Rafinha. I can't believe it. He finally came in. And I've got to thank you two for that, because you two were two of the lads who were encouraging me to make the move. So yeah, he's finally delivered. But I did that United game for TalkSport, and honestly, after the match, I felt like I ran a marathon. Honestly, I had no breath whatsoever, because I prepped my game. I put about 3 hours of research into my game and get facts and figures for all the players that I'm going to be commentating on. And I hardly used any of them, because I was just constantly saying, and now Rafinha comes forward, Rodrigo comes forward, Martial comes forward, Rashford comes forward. Honestly, I was exhausted. And I had Paul Parker, used to play for Man United, who was like the co-commentator. And he's got like a sore throat, and he had no voice, and he wasn't saying anything for the whole game. I felt so sorry for him. It was so exciting, but he was just fucking for the whole of the country.
No.
And I was just like, come on, Paul, you got to give me something here. But
that's brilliant. But
yeah, mental game. And yeah, it paid off for me.
And do you mention at all, Rich, on commentary? Do you say like, oh, Fernandes is my captain on FPL, or do you just, you're not supposed to say anything like that?
I do sometimes.
Right.
I do sometimes. Yeah. It's you know, it's only relevant.
Yeah, I suppose you can't really constantly mention FPL, can you?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Although when Rafinha scored his first goal, I was like, yes, go on there. I mean, when Fernandes scored his first goal, I was buzzing, because I was like, it wasn't a great shot and I thought it was going to get blocked, and it just snuck in under the goalkeeper. Yeah. So I was buzzing for that.
And Rafinha enabled you to get Salah, is that right?
I think I'll have to get rid of De Bruyne.
So you haven't got Salah around yet?
No, I didn't bring in Salah.
I'm sorry, I thought you'd already brought him in. That.
I opted for De Bruyne in the end because the fixtures for Manchester City were favourable. This is when we had that conversation a few weeks ago now. And
Yeah,
I opted for De Bruyne. I think I'll probably still stick with De Bruyne for now. Although I think it was before this game week I heard that Brighton have got more away goals than Man City this season, which doesn't fill me with utter confidence in my choice for De Bruyne. But who knows? I might make a late change. The only change I'm really concerned about, which hopefully we'll talk about on the podcast, is what to do with Chilwell. So yeah, we'll get onto that. But anyway, yeah, great week for me, 87 points, and yeah, up to the top 500k. So yeah, pretty pleased with that. And Everton won as well, which is always a good feeling on a weekend. What about you, mate? How did you get on? Great weekend?
Well, it's all going very, very well. here at Jersey FPL Towers. Yeah, and of course that United victory over Leeds was just glorious, to score six past them. And you've got to give credit to Leeds as well for the way they attacked that game. It's just so nice to watch football like that. I spoke at length about Mourinho last week when it was just me and Ben, just about how I just don't like the way he plays football. And to see United and Leeds put on a show like that was just wonderful. So that made my game, my week, really. But of course, FPL was fantastic as well. I got 93 points. Whoa. My highest score so far this season by about 20 points.
Nice.
Yeah, it's five blanks and six returns, but the six returns were all pretty damn good.
Seriously?
Five blanks. Half that? Yeah.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
I mean, McCarthy got a save point for three. But Soufal and Chilwell obviously only got one each. And I will not be putting a Twitter poll or asking for anybody's advice about my FPL team ever again. After I changed Justin for Soufal very last minute. Oh. I had a feeling about Justin. It's like, why didn't I follow my feeling? But anyway, that's so silly to get upset about that. But I'd have been on 100 points if I'd have played James Justin instead of Soufal. But anyway, it's absolutely fine. Yeah, captain Bruno Fernandes does what Bruno Fernandes does. Two goals and an assist. Superb. Salah obviously came on and got his brace and an assist. 16. Grealish with 10. De Bruyne with 5. Callum Wilson, I mean, I feel like the luckiest man in the world with that nine-pointer from Callum Wilson. He did not deserve it. He did not deserve three bonus. It wasn't a penalty, and that's where luck comes into FPL. I'm more than happy to admit that there. And then, yeah, Bamford and Adams bringing up the rear with two each. I think Bamford probably a little bit unlucky to not get on the score sheet against United. Mm, Leeds looked definitely great. I'm really happy with Shea Adams and how Southampton are doing. I thought they did really well against Man City and were unlucky not to score. So I'll be sticking with him as well. So it's taken me up to 25K.
Very nice.
Sorry, 23K. 23,354. So I've snuck into the top 25K. Just absolutely buzzing with that at Christmas. And we're in good positions, aren't we, really? I mean, I know Ben's having a bit of a difficult one, but, you know, Harry and I are in good positions and Rich are in a good position, top 500K at Christmas. It means we can really kind of kick on now and almost be sensible with our decisions in order to maintain our rank in a way.
Well, that's what I was going to say to you is I mean, we could probably talk about it a bit more at length, but I suppose now you're in the position where you want to finish, and obviously there's still such a long, long way to go. I suppose, is it, do you play the sensible game? Do you play like the average side that everybody else will be picking? Because I suppose you just have to keep getting, you know, close to 70 points as possible every game week now to stick in that top 23K.
Yeah, I mean, my average is 65 points a game week now, which is I think you need 68 per game week to win the whole thing. That's been enough in the past few seasons. So if I maintain this, if I maintain 65 a week, I'll be top 10K by the end of the season. No problem. But obviously, it's just about maintaining it. And I'll just stick to the system that I've played ever since the start, which is picking players based on their points per 90 minutes. Picking consistent performers over the more risky picks. I'm quite a safe player anyway, aren't I, Rich? Really, there's not many risks in there for me. There's not many differentials in my team. I'd say maybe Shea Adams, you'd maybe say was a differential. Soufal, kind of a differential. Apart from that, they're pretty much all certainly above 10% ownership. There's not much kind of. I don't really think in terms of, oh, I'm going to pick this person because they're less than 10% or 5% owned. What about you, Harry? Do you look much into differentials, or do you not really think that much about it?
So I actually write a weekly article for Fantasy Football Hub, which is on differentials, but I rarely pick them myself. I'm just looking at my team, and actually, if I played my strongest 11, no player in my team is under 10% owned. Lamptey's just over, and then I've got Babwayne on the bench. I think the way my season's going at the moment, I don't really need to. I had a choice. I needed to get Salah in a few weeks ago, and I had the choice of selling Grealish, Son, or Robertson. And I decided to go with Robertson out. I knew he had a high ceiling, and he's done well since. But just looking at the ownership, it was kind of a no-brainer, because if he scores, then it's not going to really impact my rank. But if I sell Grealish or I sell Son, and one of them goes crazy, then it's going to really impact me. So at the moment, I'm quite happy with where I am at this time of the season, so I don't really need to be looking at them. If I think they're, you know, a good pick generally, then great, I can get them in, but I don't go, right, I need to bring in a differential for this player. If it happens to be a differential, then great, but I don't go off that basis at the moment, no.
Yeah, that does make sense. And you were looking more into it this season, weren't you, Rich? I remember a few weeks back you saying about, oh, maybe I need more differentials because all of my players are really highly owned. But I think you've kind of gone off that theory now.
Yeah, well, I mean, the players who are highly owned is because they're the players who continuously deliver. And it's as simple as that, and you don't have to overthink it whatsoever. I mean, I'd love to have a midfield of Iwobi, Rafinha and, I don't know, McTominay who bang. But, you know, it's not gonna happen realistically, is it? You know, if you have Fernandes, Salah and Son, they're much more likely to bang. So, yeah, you just got to do the sensible thing. Maybe having one or two differentials in there. But the way my team's kind of, like, financed at the moment, it's kind of all over the place. Hence, Rafinha being in my starting 11. And Shea Adams as well.
Yeah, I mean, McSauce. But he played like Prime Zidane. I couldn't believe it. I mean, honestly, those first 3 minutes, the way he was bursting into the box, his first goal was a ripper into the bottom corner. His second goal was a beautiful finish. He was taking people on. Like, the amount of dribbles he did, it was one of those games, wasn't it? It was madness, that match.
And he was so desperate for his hat-trick. There was a point, I think, where it was Fred at like a one-on-one, and McTominay was screaming for it. And when you have Fred one-on-one or McTominay with an open goal, you know, I know who I put my money on. But yeah, it was just an absolutely mental game. And I'm glad that Ollie, for the sake of United, picked Fred and McTominay in the midfield for that. Because if Pogba had played, all, you know, he's got brilliant technique and talent and whatever, but I don't think that kind of intensity would have been for Pogba. I think it's right that he played McTominay in his place, and two goals in 3 minutes.
Yeah, you've got to give it to Ollie. I mean, I saw that lineup and I saw Dan James playing. I thought, oh my god, what has he done here? It was obvious that we were set up to counterattack, and you have to say it was a bit of a stroke of genius from Ollie to play Dan James. He played really, really well. He got his goal. He caused them a lot of problems. His pace was really, really important for us. And of course, yeah, McTominay starting ahead of Pogba and Van de Beek. And he was man of the match. So you can't argue with that. And suddenly United, I mean, it's bizarre that United are third in the league. But suddenly, you know, if they win their game in hand, we're second. It's like crazy stuff. Should we talk blanks and doubles first in terms of strategy? Because it'd be good to... It was only me and Ben who spoke on this last game week, so it'd be good to get your thoughts on it, Rich, and yours, Harry. So what's your current thinking? We've just had the announcement that the Carabao Cup final's been moved, so there's going to be another double game week in 26 as well as the double game week in 19, which means there'll be another blank as well, but I think the blank will be smaller. I can't remember. I think only a couple of teams blank. But what's the current thinking around strategy?
So will game week 26 be in February, presumably then?
Not sure.
Something like that. So it's going to be way after the wild card, right? So I would probably hold on to my wild card till then. I know Ben was just talking about using his wild card pretty much immediately. I mean, I'm in quite a comfortable position where I've got two free transfers for this game week. So, you know, I can see out till the next wildcard arrives. But I think that's probably going to be the time when you hold your wildcard too. And because of the whole Corona situation, like Newcastle's game getting suspended a few weeks ago as well, it just makes sense to hold on to it. And there could well be another double game week somewhere down the line. It does tend to happen. And this has been one of the strangest seasons in the history of Premier League football. You know, there's bound to be another turn down the road at some point. But yeah, I need to properly analyse. Yeah, I'm sure you've had a lot more of a in-depth thought about it, Harry.
Yeah, I mean, I had my plan, and then there was the announcement that there's going to be another one, and this game week 26 double and the game week 29 blank game week is practically going to be as big as the 18-19, so it's basically having to deal with it again. And then there's going to be a small blank in, I think, game week 33, which will be, you know, two matches or something cancelled, and then a few extra doubles. So I think the 33 and the few extra doubles we can pretty much sort of discount, and we'll tackle them with a couple of free transfers. At the moment, I'm planning on free hitting 18, triple captaining 19, then I will sort of dead end my team into that game week 26 double and have a bench boost there so I can fill my bench with whoever I want, and then wildcard before, at some point before the game week 29 blank is currently my thinking. But with this season and with the way it's changing, I'm not sure I really want to use my free hit in game week 18. I know there's potential for the Manchester United fixture, I think it's against Burnley, to be put into game week 18 if they win this midweek. So I'm hoping that there might be a way that I can put out sort of 8 or 9 players in game week 18 and save my free hit. But at the moment, it's free hit game week 18.
So why aren't you thinking about bench boosting 19? Because you just can't get enough double game weekers to make it worthwhile.
I mean, because on my bench, I would have to upgrade my goalkeeper. I'd have to upgrade. I've got Mitchell on my bench and I've got Brewster on my bench. And I then would be stuck with having, you know, 15 good players up until I wildcard game week 27. Whereas if I bench boost in game week, I can dead end my team to game week 26 and then I can downgrade them again into, you know, the 4.0. So because I don't need them again, I only really need them for that bench boost. Whereas if I bench boost in 19, then I'm left with them for 6-7 weeks, just using funds on my bench. So, and it's a lot of transfers that I'd have to commit between now and 19 to upgrade them. And I'd have to be selling players at the moment that I don't really want to sell. So if you can bench boost in 19, it's the better strategy, but it doesn't work with the team that I've got at the moment.
But you're still thinking free hit in 18?
Yeah, at the moment.
Right, okay, yeah, I see what you mean. And then you'll save the wild card and play your wild card to set your team up for that second double game week to potentially play bench boost then?
No, so I will then use my free transfers from game week 19 to plan for that double in 26 to get my bench boost squad ready. Right. And then after it, play my wild card in order to plan for the blank.
To wild card out of that, right, I've got you, yeah. Okay, but then that's a similar thing than what you're saying now, though, in terms of you that means the whole you're spending a lot of free transfers in order to plan for that double, which is essentially what I'm planning to do now to get to 19. So it's a similar thing, really, in terms of spending transfers to get your team ready for that. I guess the tricky thing is making sure you're not just putting players in purely for that game week. They've got to have good fixtures up until then. You've got to be comfortable with playing them up until that game week to make it worthwhile. Because as we keep saying, as long as you keep your average above that 60-pointer throughout the season, it doesn't matter. You don't need to necessarily attack Ben, I would advise to, you know, someone like that who needs those points to attack a double game week hard. But we don't necessarily need to attack it as hard as we perhaps think, which is what I need to remind myself of, because you don't want 50 points, 50 points, 50 points, 50 points, and then get 100 point on a bench boost. You'd rather just get 60, 60, 60, 60, 60, wouldn't you, really? In terms of, maybe my maths isn't quite right there, but you know where I'm going with it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you wanted to push on and, you know, you wanted to win the whole thing, you could throw it all into that game week there and do an absolute chaotic.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is kind of my strategy at the moment is to free hit 18 and then bench boost 19, because with free transfers I can get to 15 double game weekers. So it's not really worth me making free transfers to get to the blank game week, because I've only got Fernandez and De Bruyne, I think, maybe a couple more that don't blank in 18. So it wouldn't really make sense for me to free transfer to get a team for blank game week 18. It makes more sense to make free transfers to get those double game weekers in for 19. But the problem is with things like Chilwell getting injured throws a complete spanner in the works. So what are we going? You're a Chelsea fan, aren't you, Harry? What do you know any kind of more information than we do about his injury, and what are your plans with him?
Sadly, I'm not an in the know, so I don't have any information on Chilwell. My worry is that he's expected to not be fit for that Arsenal game, from what we've heard from Lampard so far, and then that means that with the next game coming so quickly after, Chelsea have I think 3 game weeks in the space of about 8 or 9 days. So if he's then missing one, chances are he's going to miss 2, and then it's going to be pretty close run for the third one. So I think I'm going to... I also have Lamptey, who I don't want. The chances are I want Chilwell long-term, but I don't want Lamptey long-term. So I may stick it out this week and bench Chilwell and replace Lamptey and then see where we get news on Chilwell. But I think it's probably worth looking to move him if you don't have other transfers that you want to make.
Yeah.
So obviously Emerson came on, didn't he? I think it was his first game of the season. Is he going to be the first choice left back now? Because he's 4.7 million. Like, if he's going to be starting for Chelsea for the next few weeks, like, he is a cheap old option out there for FPL.
Yeah, but then I suppose it's the risk that you could, again, get one game out of him, and that's Arsenal away, and then you don't particularly... I know Arsenal haven't scored a lot of goals recently, but you still don't want to be bringing in a defender just for that fixture. So if you're on a, you know, a free hit or something, then great, he could be an option to free up some funds, but... Yeah, I'm not going anywhere near him, especially as a Chelsea fan. I don't rate his talent particularly highly, so so I won't be going near him.
Yeah, the attacking threat last night wasn't there, was it, from Emerson and Azpilicueta, as it has been with Chilwell and James. It was a shame, really, that Chilwell's gone. I'm inclined to do exactly the same thing as you, Harry. I'd even be inclined to bench Chilwell for two game weeks, such as the... a benefit of having him long term. I think he's a season keeper, and if he is only out for one or two, and because he's got that nice double in 19, I'd rather hold him and bench him, as I've got James Justin to come off the bench, so I can play Justin, I can play Soufal and Robertson for the next couple of game weeks if Chilwell's going to be out. But the longer you leave it, and the longer he sits in your team, then he goes down in value and all that kind of stuff. It's a tricky decision, isn't it? Because really, I want him for that double game week. I don't want to get rid of him.
No. When do the press conferences happen for the games on Boxing Day, traditionally? I'm trying to think.
Some were today. I think they'll be spread across today, tomorrow, and then Christmas Eve.
All right, okay. So
we should get more news. I mean, the good thing about his injury is that he got up and tried to carry on for a bit, didn't he? If it was really that bad, he perhaps wouldn't have tried to carry on. I don't know.
But sometimes that makes it worse.
Yeah,
everything I'm reading says it's just a minor injury. So, you know, a minor injury, it's very vague in it. But you think maybe a week or two?
Yeah, he went for a scan today. Okay. So we should have information by when Lampard has his press conference. Whether he decides to tell us or not is another thing. But Lampard should have that information by his press conference.
Good, that's good. And what about those for those who own Reece James? He's not looking good either, is he? Yeah, you've got to sell him.
I wonder whether... It sounds like Chelsea want to give him a bit of a rest, and I wonder if Chilwell being out will impact that decision slightly with someone like Arsenal, whether we really want to go into that with Emerson and Azpilicueta. But on the face of it, unless he says that he's back ready to play, I could see him being given the Christmas period off. It's just not something you want to make worse. You don't want to take that risk. Yes, he misses three games, but if you make it worse, it will be 3 months that he could be out for. So I think you've got to sell Reece James if you've got him.
And while we're on Chelsea, Harry, this is purely for my own gain. So you might, as we're in a mini league together, you might not want to give me this, give me your opinion on this. But I'm just thinking in terms of Chelsea attackers. Like I was pretty set on maybe bringing Giroud in for Wilson if he started last night, and then obviously Abraham started, scored his two goals. I listened to the interview after, and Lampard, they asked what his decision making was in terms of who to pick between Abraham and Giroud. He kind of made out it was because of the opposition, but Abraham's been favoured, hasn't he? I mean, would you think about bringing Abraham in, or is he too much of a risk? Or would you bring in Werner or Pulisic, or are they all kind of too risky?
The only Chelsea attacker I would consider bringing in is Ziyech when he's fit. But even then, I'm still not fussed. I think on the Pulisic one, he's made of glass.
Yeah.
He's great when he plays, but as we saw midweek, you know, he could just not play because he's got a slight knock. I just don't think there's enough solidity of him to play every week. Werner, again, his finishing isn't there, his confidence isn't there at the moment. He has the potential to be a good asset, but at that money, it's just not worth paying it over someone like Bamford, someone like Calvert-Lewin, who's returning more points than them. So yeah, I think on the strikers, again, if one of them was nailed to play every week, they'd be absolutely great value. Yeah. But the problem is, again, with three fixtures this week, I was pretty certain that one of them would play twice and one of them will play once. And with the next three fixtures over Christmas, I expect it to be exactly the same. Tammy will probably play twice now, and then Giroud will play once. So you know you're going to get that rotation risk. And with the way that I'm playing, it's just not worth picking them.
Yeah, I think I'm the same. It's just one of those picks which looks exciting on the surface with a potentially high ceiling, but then they're benched for a game or two, and you just never know who he's going to play, do you? But you're right, at that price, and I've got Callum Wilson, who I kind of want to get rid of now that Newcastle's fixtures turn. So they were well on my radar, but I just don't think it's worth it. I actually think someone like Chris Wood is a better option than both of them. At least he's nailed. He scored again last night. He scored for the first time in quite a while last night. Burnley need those results, and they just seem like their form is turning like it always does under Dyche. Yeah. And surely Wood is the one that's going to get the goals, no?
Yeah, I mean, we said this, didn't we? When they started poorly, we know Burnley are going to stay up purely because they are so well organised under Sean Dyche. We've seen it happen in the past where they go on a terrible, terrible run, but then they go on a brilliant, brilliant run. And I think it's four games, is it now? They're unbeaten, something like that. So they're absolutely flying. And I think coming up against Leeds, it's going to be the perfect game for Burnley to just nick like a 1 or a 2-0 win, like they did against Wolves last night, because Leeds are just that side that are just, they just throw caution to the wind, whereas Sean Dyche is exactly the opposite. He was the most cautious manager in the league. So I just think Burnley are going to be very cleverly set up. They'll get a set piece, they'll chuck it into the area, and Wood, more than anybody else, is likely to be the fella who gets his head on it. So yeah, anybody in claret and blue you want to pick Wood from Burnley, I think. Or Charlie Taylor, who's been absolutely smashing it for me over the last few weeks. Yeah, he got a nice 5 and 2 sixes the 2 weeks before that. So Charlie Taylor, don't laugh at me, Luke. Come on, you know he's a good choice.
I think he has been a good choice. Yeah, I haven't gone with him. I went with Justin and Kyle Walker-Peters, and then went with Soufal instead of Taylor. And I'm really happy with those picks. I mean, Soufal especially looks great. He looks good again last night against Chelsea. I think West Ham were a bit unlucky to concede 3 goals really, and there were times in that game where they looked like they might score. I mean, Haller is just awful, isn't he? I mean, the amount of times he was offside, and he I know that overhead kick was fantastic, but they really miss Antonio, don't they? I am thinking of tripling up on them actually for that double game week, because they've got such good fixtures. But attacking wise, I don't think I'm that interested. They need Antonio back badly, don't they?
Yeah, that's a good question about West Ham actually. I'm thinking of going double West Ham defence over the next few game weeks, because I've already got Balbuena in my side, and I'm thinking of bringing in Soufal whilst Chilwell's injured. Next 3 fixtures for West Ham: Brighton at home, Southampton away, and Everton away. Is it a smart move, do you reckon, double West Ham defence? I might not necessarily play them both, but to have in your side.
Over the next 3, it's not ideal. Brighton at home could easily be a clean sheet for them. Brighton failed to score against a 10-man Sheffield United for about 60 minutes. So there's definitely clean sheet potential there. But Southampton and Everton away, I wouldn't be too fussed with. But that double could easily make up for it. Burnley and West Brom at home, you could easily see 2 clean sheets for them there. So that would make up for the 16-17. So if you only need to play one of them in Southampton away, Everton away, it could be a way to go. And it does seem like Soufal is definitely the standout pick for them. He looks so much better than any of them else. I've got Balbuena. You know, he will get a goal at some point. It's just whether he's in my team when he does. So fingers crossed I own him for that 15-pointer. But Soufal is definitely the best pick in that defence.
Yeah, it's good prep for the double, I think, getting it. But yeah, I wouldn't play double West Ham defence for that Southampton and Everton game. I'm looking at Fabianski as my extra keeper for that double game week. I've already got McCarthy. And I think Fabianski could be a great option for those 2 home fixtures. But yeah, I like Soufal. Cresswell is also a great option. I mean, his left foot is just so good, and he was playing left back yesterday because obviously Masuaku's out. So I like Cresswell as well, but he's just slightly more expensive, isn't he? So perhaps wouldn't be worth it. But yeah, Soufal looks good for sure. What about, just while we're on defenders, should we be looking at bringing in Trent again now?
Oh God, you know what? I hate this fella. Not only because he plays for Liverpool, but because he's in my mind all the time when it comes to FPL.
What a differential, by the way, if you bring him in now before everybody else, and if he does rediscover that form, he could be. I mean, what a differential he could be, particularly if you double up with Robertson. At the moment I am planning on a Trent and Robbo double up for the double game week. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm getting rid of Chilwell, is that?
No, to keep Chilwell as well.
Ooh, okay. Pricey defence, I like it.
Yeah.
Harry literally recoiled away from the webcam when you said that. I couldn't believe it.
I'll make some notes.
Yeah. So basically, I'm just looking at Alexander-Arnold this season. Obviously, he's had a few weeks out injured, but he's not really done that well so far this season.
No, not at all.
He's had 2 sevens. And his 9 came in his last game week in the thumping of Crystal Palace. But, you know, I'm pretty confident Liverpool are going to be the team that win the league this season. But I'd be careful with West Brom at home, you know. I don't think they're going to roll over them like they did Crystal Palace last weekend. Big Sam is going to absolutely shore up that West Brom defence. They'll probably win Liverpool, but I don't think it's going to be the 4-0, the 5-0 that you'd be hoping for. Because when Sam gets in charge of a side, he just goes back to basics, which is solidify the back and hopefully nick something off a corner. I seen him when he was at Everton, and trust me, we had we have in defence. I think we would have had like a 300-year-old Leighton Baines at left back, Cuco Martina, and it would have been Jagielka and
isn't that Argentinian?
Yeah,
Funes Mori.
Funes Mori, yeah, and he just made us rock solid, and we didn't concede goals for like three games on the bounce. All right, we didn't have any shots, but we didn't concede any goals. So I just be careful whenever you're thinking of West Brom, because I know when it comes up in that fixtures list, West Brom always comes up as a green, so you'd think it'd be an easy fixture. But I just think in the back of your mind a little bit, Big Sam, he does something to teams, you know.
I think he's just trying to put people off Salah captain, isn't he, Harry? I mean,
that's it. Yeah, that's all he's trying to do. He's trying to make grounds on everyone, but it's not moving. Our man's not moving off Salah
no
for this
way,
week.
No
absolutely
way.
No chance.
What do you think about Trent, Harry?
It does feel like if you're picking Trent over Robertson, you're doing it just because you want a differential. I don't see on the stats that there's anything to back Trent over Robertson at the moment. Robertson is on as many set pieces. His crosses into the box are so much higher. So at the moment, I don't really see much grounds to go Trent over Robbo. He has the free kicks and he could put one in from the edge of the box. And great, he has that higher ceiling probably because of it. But I expect Robbo to tick along nicer, more nicely than Trent does at the moment. So I think Robertson is a great pick, but I'd probably have Robbo in my team first over Trent.
Yeah, I'm more thinking along the lines of a double up, really. And I think you're right. I think Robertson's still the one to go for.
Yeah,
it depends, doesn't it, elsewhere. And I'm for some reason, I'm liking the thought of big at the back again with Chilwell, Robbo and Trent. But obviously, it depends on the Chilwell injury and what I want to do. But Trent needs to get his form back. And I'm certainly not thinking of bringing him in just yet. But if he goes on a bit of a run, or if he looks really good and he's close to assists or he's close to goals ahead of that double game week, I might think, yeah, stick him in there. And then he's one that can stay in your team as well, isn't he? But yeah, perhaps not just yet.
Yeah, I've got a question for you in regards to midfield. So I have the two free transfers this week. What I'm thinking so far for my transfers is Chilwell out because he's injured. And Rafinha delivered for me, but I think Leeds will struggle against Burnley, specifically in the next game. And I'm thinking of bringing in James Maddison. He's looked pretty good over the last few weeks. For Leicester, he had a goal disallowed for offside. There's an absolute inch or so in it against Tottenham, wasn't it, they played, yeah. And he's just kind of run the show for Leicester City once again. And typically, he's one of the main chance creators in the Premier League and likes to get some goals himself as well. What are your opinions on him?
Well, I think first, Rich, you've got to decide on your strategy for the blanks and doubles. Because okay. Rafinha's got a double game week. And who's the other person you're thinking about taking out? Chilwell.
Chilwell, yeah.
Yeah, Chilwell's also got a double game week, but obviously, yeah, we don't know how long he's going to be out for. So first of all, you need to decide on your strategy for that, because if you start taking double game weekers out and then you haven't got them. I know Madison's got a double game week as well. So I think over the next five game weeks, I think Rafinha could match Madison. I think Madison's one of those players where if you don't catch him on the two or three good games that he's going to have per season, maybe I'm being a little bit harsh there, but if you don't catch him at the right time, he can blank for five, six games. And that's what he's done ever since he's been in the Premier League. I don't know if you agree, Harry, on Maddison.
Yeah, I don't know. He has that high ceiling, and when he plays well, he plays really well. But I just, it seems like a lot, 7 million. I think there's better players in that sort of 5 to 6 price bracket. I can finally talk about, I wonder if I'd get an opportunity to talk about my new love that is Theo Walcott.
Oh, yes.
At Southampton.
I was on that YouTube stream yesterday with that FPL lounge, which was great, by the way. And they kept mentioning Theo Walcott because you'd said it as well.
It's just that when Ings is injured, he plays up front alongside Che Adams. And actually, if you look at the games where Ings was injured, he has a larger goal threat than Che Adams does. He's got a goal and an assist in the four games when Ings was injured last time. They have a fairly decent double game week. as well. And they got Fulham this weekend. So it's just, I don't know, there is something about him. I don't know if I'll do it, but, you know, Leicester away, Leeds away in game week 19 for the double, Fulham and West Ham in the next two. I don't know. If Ings is out long term, I think he's quite a nice pick at just 5.8.
Yeah, I was looking at Southampton for the double and I've already got McCarthy and Adams, and I was thinking, should I go for a midfielder? Should I go for like a Ward-Prowse or a Walcott? Because, I mean, Grealish's fixtures turn, don't they, after Crystal Palace? Yeah. So I'm thinking of getting off him and bringing in a double game week, but I'm just not sure who. And maybe Walcott could be an option, yeah. But yeah, what does that kind of help you on Maddison, Rich? You like him, don't you, more than we do, I think.
Yeah, it's just his creativity over the years. I think since he made his debut in the Premier League, only De Bruyne has made more chances than him.
Yeah, but he doesn't get FPL points.
Yeah, but
that's the problem. He can create all the chances in the world, but that, as long if people aren't on the end of it scoring the goals. But yeah, he has the exciting thing about Maddison. He's got potential to get that 15-16 pointer, hasn't he?
Okay. Well, yeah, food for thought, but it's definitely not going to be Walcott. Sorry, Harry.
Yeah, we might have put you off in there.
You wait. I imagine that over the next five game weeks, that Theo Walcott outscores James Maddison.
Oh, big shout! Okay. Big shout.
I know, we'll come back to it in five minutes.
I tell you what, you are making me want to go for Theo Walcott here, Harry, because it would be the perfect move off Grealish, really. I don't think I'm going to do it. I don't think I'm going to move Grealish off this week. I think particularly after Palace have just lost 7-0, you'd be pretty mad to take Grealish out, wouldn't you, before playing Palace? Moves this week, boys. What are we thinking? Who are we captaining?
It's a tough one. I mean, I've already spoken about my transfers. I think the most likely one is probably going to be Soufal in for Chilwell, but that's only if we find out more about the Chilwell injury. So it's all kind of weighing on that, really. Captain's armband. I don't know. I feel like I need to give it a little bit more thought, but I don't know. Maybe Kevin De Bruyne against Newcastle at the Etihad could be a bit of a tasty one. Because you'd imagine Newcastle are just going to be sitting back trying to get a draw like they have for pretty much most of their games this season. But City just haven't looked so great. I mean, they couldn't do it against West Brom. So I don't know. I'd say De Bruyne is just about edging Fernandes at the moment, I'd say.
Yeah, still no Salah. Not thinking about bringing Salah in before West Brom.
I've committed to De Bruyne for the next few games, so I'm committing to it. You watch. West Brom will put in a decent shift against Liverpool. It's going to be 8-0 now, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they will, but I still think Salah will be the one scoring the goals if Liverpool do score, which I'm sure they will.
Definitely.
Okay, cool. What about you, Harry?
It's currently on Salah captaincy-wise with De Bruyne as my vice-captain. It is always nice having that sort of midfield five, as I feel like I've got a strong option pretty much every week. But yeah, I can't really look past Salah at West Brom. The thing is with Salah is, I think we saw it in that first week against Leeds, he doesn't really need full chances, a half chance, and he's putting it in the back of the net, which is the thing, you know. Allardyce can make it their defence much better, but he needs a half chance and he can put it away. In terms of transfers, it's going to have to be a defensive one for me this week. I've got two, but I'll probably only use one. Depending on the Chilwell news, it could be Chilwell out, but it's most likely to be Lamptey. Koufal, double West Ham for the double could work. It's more likely to be potentially Charlie Taylor, with the next couple being quite nice. He has a double, but it's not great, but free up a little bit of money there. Probably Lamptey to Charlie Taylor this week.
Nice. Ben?
I'm trying to work out a way to get Salah in. But getting Mane in.
Don't take the hit. Don't take the hit.
I'm currently looking at a -4 option here.
Why? Why?
Look, I don't know. I mean, Mane is so much easier to get in than Salah. Like, there is quite a big price difference between those two now.
Yeah.
And also, Mane is sort of a differential. 7.6% selected, Mane.
Yeah, it might be a differential, but you've got to be sure.
He's got exactly the same potential as Salah. In every game, isn't he, Mane? Exactly the same potential.
No, I disagree. And the reason that he hasn't got the same potential as Salah is because you just look at their points totals over the last three seasons. Salah beats him every time.
Salah's on penalties as well.
It's the penalties that edges it, yeah.
The penalties.
Yeah. That's the thing that edges
Salah's
it.
Salah's cold. Yeah. Salah's cold. He's greedy, which is what you want in FPL, whereas Mane's a bit more of a team player, I think.
Yeah, Salah can score from the edge of the box, but Mane, you kind of need him to be sort of one-on-one. He doesn't score the same type of goals Salah does.
Came out this week, actually, I know we've already discussed Salah, but came out this week that Salah's unhappy at Liverpool.
Yeah, they were talking about that on Monday Night Football. Yeah.
Do you reckon that could affect him in any kind of way?
No.
Because, I mean, if Klopp wants to, you know, make him more unhappy, he could just stick him on the bench again.
No chance. Rich is just spending the whole episode trying to put people off captaining the best player in FPL. okay, cool. So Ben, what would the minus four involve?
It would involve Ross Barkley to Mane.
Yeah.
In defence, bringing Koufal in, because like you, I like West Ham's fixtures, and taking James Justin out, because it's that awful thing of that kind of 0.1 left over, because I'm basically taking out Harry Kane. So that's how I'm funding all of this, is removing Harry Kane. And actually, I'm thinking about that young lad from Wolves. Fabio Silva. Yeah. Because he got a goal the other night.
Yeah.
And you know what? Look, not as bench fodder, basically. No, I'm bringing in Mane, remember?
Yeah, that's where the goals are going
to
come from.
Why are you bringing in Mane? Why are you getting rid of Kane to bring in Mane? That's crazy.
Because I think the fixed. Why is that crazy?
Because Harry Kane's Harry Kane. Like, you might as well stick.
Fulham at home, Leeds at home in game week 16, 17.
And I've got Son as well, though. I've also got Son.
Yeah, stick with both.
And, you know, Tottenham. God, I hate this game.
Kane delivers pretty much every week, so I'd leave him in, whereas Mane doesn't.
Yeah.
What have you got? Have you got two free transfers?
Yes,
and,
I do.
And you've got Vardy in your team, haven't you?
Yes, I do.
Who's your front three? Vardy, Kane and Calvert-Lewin?
Vardy, he said 75% chance of playing at the moment. But after Man United at the weekend, over Christmas, they got Crystal Palace, Newcastle, Southampton.
Yeah, I think you don't... Yeah, just stick with it. I wouldn't be taking hits to get Mane in. Definitely not.
No, I consider it for Salah. I don't know if you can do Vardy to someone like Bamford. That frees up a lot of money.
I just hate dirty Leeds. Hate dirty Leeds so much. Birmingham City, hate
Shea Adams.
Yeah,
Vardy to Adams.
Shea Adams used to play for Birmingham though, Ben, so you don't want Adams.
Vardy to Adams, Son to Salah.
Yeah, that sounds much better.
That does sound better. Thanks, guys.
Oh, dear. Because you've got Kane as well. I mean, I'd be keeping Son and Kane now that, you know, their fixtures suddenly become very, very nice, and they're going to need some results, aren't they? Anyway, my thoughts this week, I was going to make two. I've got two free transfers. I was going to make two, but one of them would involve taking Grealish out, which I don't want to do. I also don't want to take De Bruyne out just yet before Newcastle. So Callum Wilson's the one I'm taking out, and I think I'm going to bring in Chris Wood of Burnley.
Ooh,
Harry's,
I do like that.
Harry's frowning.
I don't know. I've seen a lot of people talking about Chris Wood, and then he scored at the weekend, and I think he's got a lot of potential. He's the best goal threat in that Burnley team. It's just that, you know, they've got someone like McNeil out potentially. Brady's out. Are they going to create enough chances for him to put it in the back of the net? I know a lot of it comes from set pieces. Just with a few injuries, I wonder if it's going to hinder them a little bit.
Yeah, it's Callum Wilson that's the problem, really. I don't really want him for the next few fixtures. I can't see Newcastle getting anything against City. And obviously, Chris Wood has got a double game week. I mean, ideally, I'd like Tammy Abraham or Giroud, but they're just not... It's just too much of a risk, isn't it? So,
yeah.
Or, you know, I could potentially move him up to someone else, maybe someone like Calvert-Lewin, and just hold Calvert-Lewin. But again, that would involve taking Grealish out. So I'm kind of unsure, really. But captain's armband will, of course, be on Mo Salah.
Cool. So remember, if you've got any questions, put them to Luke at triplecaptain3 is the best way to do that on Twitter.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining us, Harry. Really appreciate your insight and hope that your season continues at a... very, very good pace.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Luke, don't spend too much of the next 2 weeks thinking about my team as you have done for the past couple of weeks, living rent-free in Luke's head for the past 2 months.
He had to get it in, didn't he? Trying to put me off Chris Wood, I see. Well, he's coming in now.
All right, go for it.
Appreciate your time, mate. Thank you. And have a lovely Christmas, everybody.
Game week 15. Best of luck, everyone. And we'll see you after Christmas.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like the Dan and Katie Daily.
Right, guys, production meeting. Sorry, I know you do want to carry on with your days, but we need to make a promo.
About the podcast?
Yeah, about the podcast.
Okay, well, it is a podcast. Yeah. We make it. Go listen to it. See ya. That's one like that.
Well, no, but... No.
Hi, this is Dan, Katie and Posh Ben, and this is our promo for our show. I forgot the show.
Hello, this is Dan and Katie, and this is our podcast. It's the Dan and Katie Daily.
Clever, isn't it?
Subscribe.
Review.
Share.
Yeah.
When you said share, I thought of actual share.
Actual share.
So, this is the Dan and Katie Daily. Search for us and subscribe now in your favourite podcast app.
Yeah.
We'll get something slick out of that.
All right.
Yeah.
The Dan and Katie Daily from Sound Rebel. Listen now on your chosen podcast app.